Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you would hand your son a stone if he asked for a loaf of bread? Or a snake when he asked for a fish? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Do to others whatever you would have them do to you. This is the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
A week ago yesterday, as we began Lent, Jesus spoke to us about the three ways that we're supposed to change, the three activities we're supposed to do with Him throughout these 40 days. And they're all supposed to be behaviors that we do in order to become much more like the Father. So we fast in order to hunger for what God the Father hungers for. We give generously what we have, so that we can participate in God's providential care of everyone. And we pray so that we might become one with the will of the Lord, so that we can begin to desire what He desires, to want what He wants, to do what He asks, because we open ourselves up to the strength He wants to give us precisely through prayerful receptivity in order to do all of these things. Jesus on Ash Wednesday said, "When you pray, don't do it for show. Go to your inner room," and in a Jewish house, there was more or less a closet within a closet, which was their safe. Sometimes it would actually have a key on it, and so when you would go into that inner room, it was the place you treasured the most. But it was also the place most hidden from everything else, so that you could go together and find God in your treasure, away from any type of ostentation, so that motives wouldn't be mixed. And throughout these 40 days, we're supposed to go back to the foundations of prayer. Now, the reality is, when you're a priest and when you're a woman religious, everybody thinks that we're experts in prayer. We do fill our day with prayer. But the Lenten season is an opportunity for us to just recognize, okay, thanks be to God by His grace, we're not preschoolers when it comes to prayer. But we're nowhere near the level to which God wants to bring us if only we cooperate. So that's why He continues to emphasize this importance of prayer throughout the season. 2 days ago, He taught us how to pray when He put onto our lips His own content, His own substance of the communication with our Father. He taught us how to seek first and above everything else, not the hallowing of our name, but the hallowing of God's name. Not the building up of our own kingdom, but God's kingdom. Not the doing of our will, but the will of the Father who sent Him. And then in order to strengthen us to do this, we beg for our daily sustenance. We beg for the grace of forgiveness and the opportunity to exercise it with others. We beg for Him to strengthen us lest we fall when we're tested, and to deliver us from the evil one, because we recognize in humility that we're weak. Prayer, Jesus gave us the means by which to communicate with the Father in the right way, asking in a particular sequence what's most important of all. Today, we have what's connected to that gospel. immediately following it in the Sermon on the Mount, we have these instructions about prayer. And no infomercial from a used car salesman has a better guarantee. Listen to Jesus. Take these words seriously. Ask, and you will receive. It doesn't say ask with your hands folded in this way, with exactly the 90-degree angle on the nailer of the... Ask, and you will receive. Seek. He wants us asking. He wants us seeking. He wants our hunger. He wants us to recognize that we don't have all that we need, and to seek what we need. And ultimately, there's only one thing we need. The Lord is our shepherd. With Him we have it all. We're called to seek Him, ultimately. The giver, not just the gift. But seeking the gift brings us into communion with the giver. We'll talk about that in a second. But He really wants us to seek, and He promises that we will find. He wants us to knock. He wants us to bang, like that importune woman, or like that neighbor in Jesus' two parables, promising that the door will be open to us. Because everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door is opened. Notice what He doesn't say, and this is a very important thing in our own prayer as well as how we teach others to pray. Jesus doesn't say, ask and you will get exactly what you ask for, or seek and you will find behind that closed door exactly what you thought you'd find, or knock and the door will be open to you at precisely the moment, in precisely the way that you anticipate. He doesn't say that. Why? Because He loves us too much for that. A little bit later, He says, which one of you would hand his son a stone when he asked for a loaf of bread? None of us would, and neither would he. Or, in the better translation, is a poisonous eel, one of those snakes that swim. A poisonous eel instead of a fish when he asks. If you then, who are wicked, at times we know that's true. If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? So what happens, as I like to say when I teach young kids, when we ask for a survival knife when we're three? Is the Father going to give us that survival knife to play around with our younger brothers and sisters? Of course He's not. What if we ask to be able to try all of the medicines in the medicine cabinet? Is a loving parent going to let us try those medicines which could lead to our sickness or our death? Of course He won't. So a lot of the times when we ask, the Lord's hearing the prayer. He knows what we need, and some of the times He doesn't give us precisely what we ask for because He knows we need something else, and that is an act of love. He's not forming spiritual spoiled brats. He's trying to form us to be saints. He will hear our prayers. He will always respond to what we most need. But that's not always exactly what we're seeking, asking for, or knocking to have opened. This is one of the real steps in spiritual maturity. When Jesus reiterates this teaching in His famous Sermon on the Plain in St. Luke's Gospel, He gets even more specific. He says, if you who know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And He doesn't say, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him for the Holy Spirit. He says, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Ask Him for anything. And this points to one of the most important principles of prayer. In response to what we ask for, what we seek, and the doors on which we knock, God always gives Himself, because He recognizes more than anything else we are seeking Him, and the giver is so much greater than the gift. So, how are we supposed to pray? Supposed to pray with that confidence and that trust that He will always 100% hear our prayers, And if he doesn't answer in accordance with what we're asking for, he's always going to answer in a greater way than what we ask for, not in a lesser way. And he's always going to respond by giving himself to us in our petitions. And so for us, as we pray with that trust, one of the things Pope Francis has been asking for the last 3 years is that we actually begin to pray as if our life depended on it. So often we haven't taken Jesus' word seriously. So we'll ask him once, we'll ask him twice, and if we don't get by that point the answer that we're looking for, maybe we say, well, I guess it's not God's will, and we stop. Pope Francis is asking us to continue to persevere in prayer, asking for the good things, because God will always respond. Some of the times, well, always with himself, some of the times with a particular need. That's why we ask for miracles. But often what he really wants to do in giving himself and giving us not only the substance of what we're asking for, he wants to transform us in faith. Some of the times it's only through the perseverance in prayer. It's only through comprehending the sorest need that we can taste the nectar, to quote Emily Dickinson, without any capital letters. That's what he wants. And so today in the first reading, we've got a tremendous lesson of the type of persevering prayer that the Lord wants us to have, as if our life depended on it, because Queen Esther's did. We know the story with King Ahasuerus and the way his terrible servant was plotting the extermination of the Jews when they were in Babylon. So at the risk of her own life, she was asked to intercede for her people. And so she fasted for 3 days with all her servants. And as she lay prostrate on the ground with her handmaids, from morning to evening, she was crying out, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, blessed are you. Starts with a real hymn of praise, just as Jesus taught us to pray in the Our Father. Help me, who am alone and have no one to help but you. I am taking my life in my hand. As a child, I used to hear from the books of my forefathers that you, O Lord, always free those who are pleasing to you. Now help me, who am alone and of no one but you, O Lord my God. Put in my word, in my mouth persuasive words. Turn the lion's heart to hatred for our enemy. Save us from the hands of our enemies, turning our mourning into gladness and our sorrows into wholeness. With her body through fasting, with her tears, with the help of her handmaids, for 3 days from morning to night, she prayed. And then, confident that the Lord would have heard her prayer, she went into the presence of King Ahasuerus, who extended her the golden scepter. And we know the whole rest of the history, which we read in the Office of Readings every year. She prayed as if her life depended on it, and she prayed specifically for her people because she knew their life depended on it. So in this year of mercy, how do we pray? When we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, uniting ourselves to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist, do we really pray, have mercy on us and on the whole world, recognizing that what we are doing as we pray that chaplet is precisely what Queen Esther was doing? But we're doing it for a far bigger audience, because we're all doomed. We've got somebody far worse than King Ahasuerus, his right-hand man. We have the devil, who prowls like a roaring lion day and night, seeking to devour us and seeking to devour others. We turn to him almost as orphans, but we're not orphans because he's a father. We turn to him begging for that gift of mercy, that gift of salvation. But do we do it with that type of holy abandon? When we pray the rosary to Our Lady, do we do it like she asked the three shepherd children in Fatima 99 years ago, to really pray and sacrifice for conversion? Do we pray like she asked Saint Bernadette to pray for the penance and for the conversion of sinners? Or are we just kind of going through the motions? Do we recognize that when we ask, God is going to answer? And so do we put our whole heart into it? And most importantly, when we pray the Mass, do we enter into what Jesus was praying for in the Last Supper, what he begged the Father for from the cross, what he sought when he rose from the tomb and the great door of the stone was rolled away because he'd asked for it. That's what Lent is supposed to bring us back to. That as we make this prayer, and the prayer of the rosary, and the prayer of the chaplet, and all our private prayer to the Father, we know he's always going to hear us. And we know he's always going to respond. So let's mean it. And let's open ourselves up to the way that in this Mass, with all the petitions we bring, God is going to respond by giving himself first his Son's body, blood, soul, and divinity. And then he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask what we prayed for in today's opening prayer. What a wondrous gift of mercy prayer is. And we in the church are supposed to be models and master teachers of this most important of all human activities. So let us have that great confidence that what we're asking for today, what we're seeking, what we're knocking for, God's about to give. God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Gianna, Monica, Roger, blessed are you.